Before you decide to go any further, we must warn you that today's content features a fair amount of swear words and sexually explicit content. Mind you, the post title is pretty upfront and shouldn't really lead to confusion. Long story short, if ever you do tend to get offended by this specific genre, you may want to pass up on this collection. For those of you who decide to stay with us, the time has come to unleash those inner demons of yours. So, something similar happened to me as well. Of course, in my case, the end result was a little bit more positive. But I actually came out to my younger brother and my mom, and it was in the time that I was still with my first boyfriend. You know the whole story.
You don't need to dive into that.
Yeah, I was with him at that time, and it was much of an issue of me having to come out to my mom and my younger brother. Because of the fact that we were together.
But how was it coming out to your parents? Because I asked that because for me, as much as I say I've got a fuck you attitude, I still haven't come out to my family. I think people passively found out, but I haven't come out. So how was that for you?
It was, in a way, traumatizing. Because there was a lot that was said from my side, and from their side as well. In terms of not having known, compared to other relatives that I've known for years.
Without you coming out.
Without me coming out. And it's like this. It all comes down to me not having, since when I was a baby, not having lived under my mom's roof, my parents' roof, but under my mom's parents' roof. I was literally the last born that grew up under my mom's parents' roof. And in a way, I sort of adopted them as my parents. You know, but that has changed. And coming back to me having come out to my mom, a lot was said in that moment that I felt wasn't really necessary to have been said, because it all came down to me having to have or get approval from certain figures in the family, and they were all mentioned from whom I should get approval. And for me, it was, I don't need approval.
It's your life.
I was like that since a young age.
So how? Okay, so my question is now, so if approval was not given by this higher authority within the family, so it would be deemed for you to stop being who you are?
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah. I guess that is what it came down to. But you know, when it comes to subjects as sensitive as my sexuality and me having to discuss it with a certain figure in the family, at certain points I get very defensive.
It's understandable.
Yes, and that is what happened with the discussion between me, my mom, and my younger brother. I got so sensitive with certain things that were said, up to a point where me and my younger brother almost got into a fight.
Really?
Yeah. There were talks of the fight. You know, I will do this and I will do that, and but it never materialized, and I'm extremely grateful that it did not come to that. But I did. After some time, I think that was in November, I did somehow let myself grow apart from them.
Yeah.
So I could pursue this that I had, that I felt was where I should spend all my efforts or put in all my efforts into. And we went on with our lives. I think 2 months after that, we split up.
Yeah.
I went my own way with my partner, my then partner. My mom and my younger brother went their separate ways, and I think it was close to 2 years that we did not have that solid of a relationship that we had in the past. At one stage, when I did go out to visit some relatives, I did meet my younger brother along the way. And we had another discussion about it. And what he told me makes it a pivotal moment for me.
Okay.
He told me he understands and he does not hold it against me.
Okay.
That for me changed the whole relationship that I had with him.
Okay.
Both in terms of who we were before I came out
and
who I am right now.
Yeah.
So with me and my mom, it was another story because of the fact that we had such a close-knit relationship up to a point where our eyes were out for each other. The smallest mistake that one made, the other one had a full mouth about it. You know, that was the relationship between me and my mom.
But do you feel like she felt a bit left out from the discovery of where your sexuality was because she probably felt that she did not see it and other people probably saw it while she was close to you and wasn't... Do you feel like that was one of the reasons that maybe she might have been a bit...
You know, I've never asked her that question, so I will never know.
Yeah.
I will never know. It could have been. I just don't know if it was.
Is it?
Yeah. But if it was, I'm pretty sure that she would have handled it a lot differently than how it was handled.
I get you.
You know? But after that, our first meeting after that, we literally talked things out.
Mm.
Because that is normally what we as brothers did. When it came to our mother, we talked things out.
Yeah.
We apologize for things and we move on. And that is one thing about her that I really appreciate to this day. The fact that she is able to talk things out, apologize where she went wrong, so that we can move on.
I wish I had a relationship like that with my father, where we can literally sit down and have a conversation about issues like this. But I feel like it's never gonna happen because as much as I may complain about him being headstrong, I inherited that from him as well. So I'm that person, if I decide cutting you out, I cut you off. So maybe somewhere there needs to be a common ground, but I feel like putting myself through a situation where I have to dig up the past in order for us to move on, it's not going to help. It's just going to pile on the bodies.
Exactly. So and
right now I'm literally just forging forward. I'm just forging forward.
And it's something that always happens when it comes to the grown-ups in the generation before us and our generation. There is some form of a misconception about certain things that happen in our lives and the same thing having happened in their lives. But the way we as a generation after them resolve it puts them in a certain it puts them in a situation where they feel that it's so much as we having that thing of having things easy for us than what they had when they were our age. And perhaps yes, that plays a role. But it's more of, it's for me personally, it's more of me, yes, resolving things in a way that they could not resolve, but it's also about me seeing things differently than they had when they were my age and they were in a similar position.
Yeah.
Because having seen things that they've gone through as adults,
yeah,
put me in a better position to deal with it,
yeah,
you know how to deal with it,
exactly,
to make sure that you don't fall into that same situation,
yeah,
in future.
Or we'll keep on repeating a cycle that can easily be broken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it always comes down to those cycles that,
yeah,
our generation wants to break.
Exactly.
And it all, I think now, while I'm talking about it, I think that might probably have played a role,
mm,
in how she reacted,
ah,
when the discussion came up of me coming out to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they never had that freedom. If it was the case with some of them,
yeah,
they never had that freedom because of the way they were brought up by,
yeah,
their parents. Entirely strict.
But talking about that, in the case, like for me now, who has never come out to anybody at all, family-wise, what would you say would be the best way to come out to my family at this age, at my 37 years on this earth?
You know what always worked for me,
mm,
is a matter of who wants to know if you're a certain kind of way,
okay,
and why they want to know.
Okay.
That is, I'm openly gay,
mm,
but if someone wants to really know if I am gay,
mm,
my first reaction will be, why is it of importance to you?
Mm-hmm.
And if they give me a valid reason for them wanting to know, then I will tell them, hey, I'm gay.
Mm.
My first thought always coming to my mind when someone asks me that is, why?
Yeah.
Do you want to fuck me? Do you want to sleep with me? Why are you asking me that? Or do you want me to fuck you? Why would you ask me if I'm gay?
Why would you ask me something like that exactly?
Yeah, and you know what? I had relatives,
mm,
that came to me or approached me,
mm,
to ask whether I'm gay or bisexual. And, you know, I always took offense of
why?
That. Because it was in a time that I was not yet ready to come
to
out.
To come out. But were you aware that you were?
I was away.
Okay.
I was completely away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is one pivotal moment. And why I'm saying it's a pivotal moment is because it strengthened the relationship between my mom. Although the two of us could never, ever live under the same roof.
Mm. Do you think that was one of the reasons why?
Probably.
Mm.
Because we always had that eye out for each other.
Yeah.
The smallest mistake, one will speak out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always disturbed the party that was spoken out against when it came to that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's me and my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm hard-headed. She's hard-headed when it comes to those arguments.
I feel like we're all like that. You know, we inherit certain traits from our parents.
Yeah.
Where also negative traits. Because I feel like being hard-headed, it's a major negative no-no, guys.
It is.
It is. As much as it's a shield for whatever it is that's going on out there, that's what you use as a mechanism to keep yourself safe. I still feel like there are certain things that can be solved, but we choose not to solve it because our heads are like, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And I think at some stage, it's something that we need to grow out of.
Yeah.
Us now being the adults,
mm,
you know, we need to work towards that because,
yeah,
our grown-ups, our parents, their siblings, their parents,
mm,
never, I won't say they were not mindful of it, but they never opened themselves up to the ability to resolve an issue respectfully.
Yeah.
And not in a way of putting down your foot to say, this is how it's supposed to be. If it's not like that, you are wrong then.
That's that.
Mm. Out. Mm. You know, so it's really, in a way, dependent on us and how we change that and implement the more positive into our lives, you know, in a way that they could not do.
I've got a very off-topic question that I want to ask though.
Okay.
Am I ready for this? Yeah, it's a normal thing.
Oh.
It's related to the whole sexuality thing and whatnot, but on the relationship side.
Okay.
In the case, okay, I know you're gay. You're not bisexual. Say in the case where you find this person that you love so much, you click everything, the stars align, the universes are milky. Whatever. So imagine this person that you find is bisexual. And person comes out to you and tells you, this is my situation. I love men and I love women. Will you allow your heart to pursue this relationship, or will you put it strictly off the table because of what their preferences are?
I've never been in a situation like that.
Okay.
But for me, always, when my mind and my whole being is on someone that I like because of a certain something that I felt when I'm in their presence, I honestly don't think it will make a difference. The only thing that will probably have me ponder a bit is the fact that you always have to be on your toes, because at any instance,
he can change his mind.
That person can change their mind and be with a woman.
Yeah.
So compared to me, I can never compare myself to to a woman. But the thought will always come out, what does that woman have that I don't have?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think about it on a regular, like in, with me putting my partner or my partners through this where I need to tell them that this is me, whatnot. I sometimes feel like probably at some point in their lives, they're also conflicted with the fact that, what if she chooses to go to another woman? Mm-hmm. What if she chooses to go to a man? I don't know, is there a way that I can guarantee this person that right now, I can't even say right now, you are my person? But for me, it's my whole spectrum of sexuality is very, it's very complicated.
I think I'm
one in a few millions who kind of believe on that whole open-minded nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole Will Smith and Jada Pinkett entanglement nonsense, but also similar to that. Where I feel like I need to be with someone who is also willing to explore. You get it? Because I get very bored very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a mundane relationship where I have to be with the same person every day. I would want us to spice it up a bit. You know, get someone involved here and there. Be safe, but get someone involved. So I don't know if it makes sense that I'm that way. And that's why sometimes I feel like most of my relationships don't work out. Because people get to find out the true me at some point, even though we speak about it.
Yes.
They get to find out and they think, she's too freaky for my life. So I'm trying to find a balance. Like, how do I balance what I want and what the next person also wants? How do I put that on the table and also not get too bored?
I think that is where compromise comes in between the two of you.
No.
You want to experience that with a person.
Yes.
Is the person able to stand themselves off and compromise to experience it with you?
Yeah.
And probably get the same excitement that you do from it. In my case, I was in a similar position with
said person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They had friends that used to do that. Couple were married.
Okay.
But they always had someone in between. I always thought that someone was him. Because
they were that close.
Ah.
Yeah.
But did you get confirmation of it?
No, I didn't, because you know what? I wasn't ready for such a commitment.
Uh-huh.
So we never got to it.
Okay.
And I also feel at some stage that was probably the cause for our relationship not to have worked out
mm-hmm.
at some stage. You know? So it's still something that I think about.
Mm.
I'm not going to confirm now if it's ever something that I will consider doing.
Yeah, because I feel like it's done and dusted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But if, I don't know, maybe I need to sit down with a therapist and figure out what it is that I love. But I know what I love. Mm. I just don't know how to table it with whoever it is that I might find myself in a relationship with. And also the fact that it scares me to table something like that and to end up losing the person because I was comfortable enough to tell you what my expectations are or what my fetishes are or what I like, you know?
Yeah.
So now I'm forced to live in this cocoon where I need to pretend to be this perfect little girly while I'm this minx who wants to do
mm-hmm.
certain things with you, you know? Wants to explore, wants to have... Okay, I'm not a swinger per se, but
mm.
I'm that person that would once in a while want to invite another woman into the mix. I wouldn't want to invite a man into
mm-hmm.
the mix. I would want him or her to experience with a woman. I wouldn't want to experience, say for example, I'm dating a guy.
Yes.
And then I invite another guy into the mix.
Uh-huh.
That is going to play on his masculinity.
It will.
He's going to think,
definitely.
Why did she want that guy? And you know, men also do the whole inspection on the packages, like, oh, he's bigger than me. Oh, is it because I'm smaller that she went and asked him? So, I don't know.
It's a whole pride and playing on abilities thing when it comes
yeah.
to men, because men know their abilities.
Yeah.
They don't want to be shrunk with regards to what other men can do better than they can do.
And I know, obviously, if you have to invite another man into the bedroom, he's going to try and show this one off that your man ain't shit. Mm.
Exactly. And come to think of it now, I think that also played a role in my decision being scared of trying something like that with my then partner
mm.
because it might so happen that the person that we'd
overachiever
yes yes
yeah true that, but I guess at some point in life we just you need to do things that make you happy.
You should,
and I'm definitely gonna do that.
You should, and not live with
regrets
and that what if factor. Mm. What if I did it?
Yeah.
How would it have been?
True that.
You know? It's something that really holds us back. I'm not going to say from potential, because you cannot fit potential into something like this.
Yeah. And I feel like at some point also having to discuss and table things like this with your partner also allows you to freely introduce certain things into your life without one of you sneaking out to
yes.
get it.
Yes.
I think that's my whole focal point on introducing certain things like this into my sex life with
mm-hmm.
whoever I'm with, because I'm not good with betrayal. I cut immediately. When I find out, I cut off. I won't even text you to say, hey, don't text me back. I literally go radio silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be that person that constantly has to do that to people. As much as this is me trying to revive and refresh my sex life,
yes,
it's also me trying to keep this person happy and also for them to realize their potential, because sometimes people are very closed off because they're afraid to try certain things.
Absolutely.
Like to mention anal.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of guys will come forward if, say, for example, me as the woman in the relationship comes forward and says, hey, I want us to try anal tonight. He will be, like, very skeptical, like, who have you tried it with? And why do you want it that way? Do you know that it's dirty? It's what? But I feel like anal sex is... It's there.
There you have it, people. There you have it.
It's there.
From the horse's mouth.
I'm speechless when it comes to this topic. Like, I literally had it like 2 weeks ago. I found myself like laying in bed, replaying this in my head, and got turned on by the thought of it. And I would have like, okay, fine, normal vaginal sex, and it doesn't do anything to me. It's like it happens, it's done.
Okay.
But with anal, you know that you playing a memory over, but it feels like it's actually happening. Your guys, no. That's all I can say. No.
I'm so amazed. I'm shocked, but I'm so amazed that you brought that up. And I know we've discussed it.
Seriously, though,
I know we discussed it off air, and my thinking at that point was, how did she really enjoy it, and would it be something that she would want to do again?
Me?
Yes,
of course, without hesitation. You know, the thing is, okay, well, to get graphic about it. It's the
whole, here we go.
The whole pain and pleasure of the whole situation. I think that's what kind of built me, you know? Because with vaginal sex, it's normal. It's something that you're already used to. But with the whole anal sex, you know, the whole first penetration, you're the breaking of spinster muscles. I literally had to go and learn about what happened in there. Because, you know, the fascination of everything and how it makes you feel, you know, I don't know what is in there that's so sensitive. I think it's the nerves or whatever, but the buildup of sexual tension, I literally had like maybe probably triple orgasms.
Like, no way.
I'm
no way.
Deadpan serious. I found myself literally shaking, and a dude was probably thinking, what the hell is going on with her? Because my whole body was in tremor.
Ah.
That's how I know it's that good. Because when it happens with me, when I have multiple orgasms through vaginal, obviously I do get tremors, but the tremors from the anal was beyond this galaxy and everything in the Milky Way. It was, wow.
And wow. I think for most men, it's a turn on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes to the gay community, that is where the pleasurable sex comes from.
No.
Just because of that. And for the reason that men know what they want.
Yeah.
They know how to pleasure each other. It's a very sensitive thing that I've said now, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. You can't dispute it. You can't dispute it. The same way people would say that two women would know what they want.
Yes.
They know how to pleasure one another.
Yes.
That's why I think for me, like I said, my sexuality is a spectrum, because there are different things that I like differently from both sexes. Like for me, like I wouldn't feel... Okay, using a dildo with another woman for anal, it wouldn't be the same as the interaction with a man, where him and I would be experiencing the whole anal thing. Because the whole touch, I'm a very, like I said, freaky person. So my concept of having anal would not be dildo in one end on her and dildo in one end of me and our butts clapping. It's not that. My concept of that would be someone mounting me, holding my neck down, that type of stuff. And then going full frontal.
This is very graphic, y'all.
I'm telling you, that is me. So there's certain things that I would want from a woman. Fine, a woman would know how I would love to, like for cunnilingus, like for her to muff me and whatnot, or me to do it to her. I feel like she would know where the pleasure points are. Most men think they do know, but they don't. Sometimes they're a bit too rough with the whole tongue in the teeth, and and you end up like, no, guy, you push him off, but he feels like, okay, when you push a guy off, he thinks in his mind that she's enjoying it too much, but it's not like that. My guy, there's something that you just did that it's a no-go now.
Mm.
So, but then you find those guys who really know what they're doing.
Yes.
But for me, I think a woman pleasures more better than a man when it comes to cunnilingus. But you do find the occasional. I haven't been disappointed by any man yet.
Okay.
So yeah. So, but with that, the different strokes from both parties. So yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
A lot of things.
That took a left turn. It absolutely did.
Because I'm sitting here and thinking now. This is turning out to be very graphic. But you know what? Continue, because I want to hear more of this.
Oh my good God. But yeah, hey, life is filled with wonderful things. And I feel like sex is something that people shy away from. And it's something that they label as being dirty or something that has to be secret or whatever. Sex has to be spontaneous.
It has to be spontaneous, okay, fine,
there are people that love the whole concept of love making, the softer part and whatnot. I don't say I don't love that, but my thing is, as much as you're gonna give me all that loving, be a bit of a freak in bed as well. That's where I think my orgasms build up from the nastiness. I don't know if I'm normal, but yeah, this is the normal me. Nastiness is what gets me over the cliff. Hey. But if you're gonna be very romantic and just, hey, it's you kissing my neck, it's you stroking gently, we're gonna take hours.
But that is how it should start, not it, how it should continue.
It should start that way. That's why I'm saying, as much as I love that,
mm-hmm.
somewhere, choke me. Okay, don't kill me, just choke me. Just primarily choke me, but not take me to the mortuary, choke me. So yeah, that's, I love a build-up of things. But my build-up of things is not you making love to me until 3 hours later.
Yeah.
Make me have a couple of orgasms at least.
Honestly, I never had sex that long. Really? You know, hours and hours.
I think my first time, I had to endure because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think he was also trying to pleasure me.
Ah.
We were all trying to impress one another. So.
Okay.
But I feel like him, he had experience because he was older than me. That's my first hetero relationship now. My first bisexual relationship with a woman came instantly.
Okay.
Mm. But with a man, it took long because I was still getting accustomed to the whole concept of being with a man, and it felt weird. I'm sorry for saying this, but the moment he entered me, it felt like a tickle. Like,
did you actually laugh it off?
Because I was already used to what she used to do to me, and then having to gravitate from a woman to a man putting his penis in me and trying to do things in me, it was a bit weird. Until I got used to the whole concept, okay, fine, this is how it happens. Okay, do I tell him to do it this way? Because this side feels much more pleasurable than what he was doing now. Until I got the hang of things. To a point where I'm comfortable in my skin right now to tell a man, like, listen, you need not to be gentle. Just hammer away. You know?
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
Yes. Sometimes you need those. Even the little quickies here and there. Sometimes it's not all about the whole long love making.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just want that thrill of now. I'm done.
Over and done with.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, we can't always get what we want.
Yeah, no, I know that. But you spoke about asphyxiation.
Yeah.
During sex. I read about it.
You should experience it. You are too scared.
It's not about being too scared. It's not something that I want to. It's not something that I want to do.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, it doesn't fascinate me.
Okay, for me, it fascinates me to a point where I don't see myself orgasming without it being in play.
Okay.
It's something that, I don't know. Like I said, I love roughness.
Mm.
And I love when a man shows dominance over me. As much as I'm very domineering when I'm with a woman, I'm the butch part. But when I'm with a man, I want you to show me that I am nothing, especially in bed. You've got control.
I get it.
Control over everything. Everything. My body, my neck, everything belongs to you that time. After that, yeah, back to normal. But during those how many minutes or the hour that we're busy role-playing and doing whatever it is that we're doing in bed, you need to show me that this is yours. And with that comes the groping of the neck, light asphyxiation, but not kill me type of thing.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I feel like with choking, it doesn't matter whether it's from the back or the front. Like from the back is even much more greater because you know that feeling where he's pressing you against the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guys. Mm-mm. That is the best part. I love that so much. And that kind of just puts me in that turn on mode where I literally wanted to go on forever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But it never went on forever, right?
Immediately, multiple orgasms and that's that. So, yeah. No, but yeah. Sometimes I feel like we need to say what we need and what we want.
You're absolutely right.
Mm.
You are. And for me, I've never spoken about this on air or with anyone without them being interested in it.
Yeah.
There's a thing between gay guys where you, when it comes to sexual position, you are either this, you are either that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're either a top or you're bottom. But yeah. Then there's also the in-between.
Which is?
The versatility of being a gay guy.
Where you can give and receive.
Give and receive.
Uh-huh.
But imagine this.
Yeah.
Three guys.
Whoa.
Yes.
A train.
The versatility comes from...
the middle.
Enjoying it from both sides.
Jeez.
That has always played in my mind because I'm a versatile guy. I prefer penetrating more than what I'm being penetrated.
Yes.
You see, but that has always played in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing a third leg in,
mm-hmm.
and trying that.
But would you be open to it? If push comes to shove, would you be open to it if your partner suggests, or would you rather you suggest? Because I feel like sometimes people tend to feel a certain way when their partner is the one that suggests it. You'd be like, why do you want to bring him into the mix? So which would you prefer?
Because I want to experience, I think I would suggest it.
Uh-huh.
If it's something that he does not want to do, I will never bring that topic up again until he comes back to me to say,
You remember when you said
it. I'm curious.
Mm.
Let's try this.
Uh-huh. See? Sometimes talking about certain things just, it brings out everything that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
But would you be open to tabling it to him?
I will be.
No?
Yes.
Without hesitation, definitely. Without shame, no nothing.
You know, the thing is when we... it's a sensitive topic, but when we're in bed,
yeah.
we always talk about things. It's like this. We play with each other's minds.
Yeah,
we play with each other's bodies just because we appreciate it that much.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will definitely be a topic that will come up in a moment where we're in bed together,
mm-hmm.
and doing something like that.
Yeah, I'm all about texting it. If I want it, I'll tell you. Whether you're far, far away, I will tell you, listen, the next time you're around, is it fine if we do this and this and that? And if you don't like it, you tell me, nah.
You know where the slacking for me comes in with doing that? You don't... you don't see the facial expression or the emotions that the person expresses. And that is what I want to experience. I want to, if he's excited to experience it, I want to see that excitement. If he's scared about that, about having to do it, I want to experience it, because then I will know that that is a topic that I will not bring up again until he comes back to address it and say, hey, we talked about it, I'm curious, let's try it.
Yeah, I think I'm way too blunt. I need to also just season down a bit when it comes to stuff like that, you know? You know when you're used to, okay, not getting your way, but being open about things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of, it blindsides the next person, because you feel like you can express yourself, but then the next person can't. Like you said, I won't be able to see whether he or she really wants the idea or is only saying yes because I brought it up. But yeah, you do have a point though. Mm.
So rather table it while they are there, because in one way or another, you also experience the same excitement that they will experience if they want to try it out.
Yeah.
But then again, you will also experience the fear of them not wanting to try out, because that will then put you in a position to make the decision of whether it's something that you want to bring up again
or not. Okay.
You know, the facial expressions, the experience of mentioning it, that is what I want to see, to know.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah. But I was so used to doing things my way. So I think I need to become much more softer. And not just be this person, that punchline person. Mm-mm.
Try it and see how it works out for you. I mean, for me, I would definitely table that the next time we're together.
I would also want to have a little bit of fun like that.
Lots of fun. But you know what? Now that I think of it, the factor of asphyxiation in sex.
You're still on that.
I'm still on that, because I realize now it's scary.
It's scary when you guys don't have a safe word or a safe... When you've never discussed it, as in how far can it go? You know, some people get lost in the moment. Say, for example, he was busy choking you. And then because of the excitement of whatever it is, your facial expression or the moaning that you're doing that moment, or how he feels like at that moment, like he can get carried away and press hard. And that's you done, gone, dead during a very stupid moment. So you need to establish safety within that space.
Absolutely.
Because that's something that can kill you. It's like being strangled by a stranger who wants to rob you or wants to do random things to you. But if it's done in a safe space, like I said, for me, it's more from the back than the front. The front, I'm not a person that loves the whole missionary nonsense. Not at all.
Yeah, for me... It gets me excited when I'm into it, but most of the times it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, missionary is not it's as much as it has to be done sometimes, but I nah. Get me on top of you, yes. Get me there. Ooh, that. Well, yeah, and then okay, I'm pretty sure your audience don't see me, so they don't know that I'm a big boned woman. Okay, there's no big bone, nothing. I'm plus sized. So
that actually seemed literal.
Yeah, I'm plus sized, guys, and there are certain positions that I prefer, and missionary is definitely not one of them. I know people say that it hits differently, whatnot, but they're just certain things. I love doggy. I love doggy. And I love the cowgirl. I love everything that I love anything that kind of challenges me to be different, not just to go with the normal mundane way of doing things. I don't like being predictable.
I get you.
I hate being predictable because everybody thinks because you're plus size, you're just going to want to lay on your back.
Mm.
It's not me. I'm all over the place. So, yeah. And you remember yesterday we watched the video, The Toothless Girl? And you made a comment like, I wonder how it feels like to be given a blowjob by her. And I'm thinking about it right now when I said that I don't like being predictable. And I thought of that scenario where, imagine me being toothless. And me being a giver. I love singing into the mic. I love that.
There you go.
I love that. And I wonder how it would feel like if I were a guy and somebody who no teeth was to do that to me. How does that feel though? I've always been meaning to ask, like, what is so wonderful about a blowjob that gets people so, yo? What does it do?
It does a lot of things. It, first of all, that first touch already sends you into a set of euphoria.
Serious?
Yes. For a man. I don't want to get too scientific or technical with certain terms, but there are sensitive parts on a man's penis that really is triggered by someone giving them a blowjob.
Yeah.
You know? The tip. Mm. The tip. It all happens at the tip. And
okay.
Yeah. So, if you're very engaged and you're experienced in it, you'll know exactly what to do with your tongue.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. But the thing is, you always want to learn more because sometimes you feel like you know something, but you actually don't, you know? So if you were to give me pointers about giving a blowjob, there are people who actually just do it without the whole stroking of the penis itself, of the shaft and everything. And then there are those that suck and stroke. Which is the best?
The sucking first and foremost, that is where it starts because you want to get everything wet and, you know, so much more enough so that penetration can be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
But then again, you also want to bring about more pleasure so that when it comes to the penetrating part, that it will actually make it a little bit more enjoyable up to a point where they don't anticipate the orgasm. So that is where the shaking of the shaft comes in. You want to bring him to that point of pleasure where he says,
Enough.
Let's do it.
I literally need to learn more. There's so much that I want to know. And I feel like this needs to be a topic the next time that we do this. Like, the different things that a woman can actually do for a man. Because I feel like we think we know what we're doing, but we don't. I'm not gonna lie that I don't watch pornography because I do. Because that's one of the ways that I can learn new things. Because I feel like just being in limbo like this, going through life thinking life is all about just the blowjob and laying on the bed and whatnot, is the next thing. It's the best thing, I think. But there are a lot more things out there that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Things like milking. I never knew there was a thing like that.
There is. Not just brushing your tits and...
milking. So
I know
those are things that I would want us to touch on because I feel like people want to explore, but there's no guidelines. There's no platform where you can actually just sit and hear and mm-hmm. listen and learn from stuff.
Yeah. It's true.
We need to tackle things like this.
And it's like you said, a lot of us get that only from pornography. Nowhere else, because you will never get someone that's very open and willing to assist in that regard, unless it's someone that you're really sexually intimate with.
Yeah.
That is open-minded to share that with you
and not to criticize you as to exactly. how you got to know about certain things.
Exactly,
like
it's only from pornography that you will learn it, and you know, I mean, there's a lot happening.
There's a lot happening
that you can.
There's a lot. And there's a lot that I want to try, though.
Oh.
Way too much.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I just need to get the time and the and the energy for it. Then it shall happen.
The energy will definitely be there. It's just a matter of timing.
Yeah, timing. So energy is already there.
Yeah.
It just needs to be tapped in.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. That, if in a short amount of time, that has really escalated.
The
discussion that we had now.
I know, and it just stemmed from one simple question.
Exactly, and you know, that's how open-minded we are, and that is the power of the mind.
Yeah, true. And I feel like we should always make it a norm to express ourselves.
Yes.
To be open-minded. I'm not saying let everything flow in that's mm-hmm. there. I'm just saying that be open-minded enough to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try things, be open-minded enough to learn mm-hmm. about those things you want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Before you actually go out, do it, or you go out and say anything negative about it, whether it's about exploring about your sexuality or mm-hmm. getting to understand somebody else's sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Understand it first mm-hmm. before you can say or do anything about it.
Exactly. And it's the same that you can also say, not only when it comes to sex, it's also something that you can bring up when it comes to the heterosexual part of society getting or attempting to getting to know the community.
Yeah, true that.
You know, it's all about being open-minded. It's all about learning.
Yeah.
You don't have to implement it in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting to know the person.
Yeah.
That's just it. And I mean, because of the toxic society that we have, that is something that will never come to the foremind of any heterosexual man or woman.
Yeah.
That it's something that they want to explore.
True that.
And you know what? It not only comes down to them not being open-minded. It also comes down to the possibility that they have a fear.
Mm.
A fear of trying to be open-minded to get to know.
Mm.
And the experience probably going to be dreadful.
Yeah. Or even the fact that they might like it. That's also a fear.
All right, y'all, that's it from our side. Wow, this podcast has really escalated to everything that it was.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm really happy that we managed to do this.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
It was necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes talking about certain things that people are shy about and not willing to touch on, it's good. And maybe we did reach one or two people who were not sure about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always good. Talking helps.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it, y'all. Y'all got to meet Lena.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share your socials with the rest of the team? If not, it's also okay.
Like I mentioned in the beginning, I really don't have any social presence. If I did, I would really want to share that. But on Instagram, I'm a chef by profession. So my Instagram handle is Drifter Merchandiser. That's my Instagram handle.
Ah.
So if you're out there here in Namibia or whatever, and you ever need somebody to do your food and whatnot, I'm the culinary girl.
There right you
here,
go.
Right here.
Chef Lena.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's bring our social on. You can always find me on Facebook with the handle Molicious. So that's www.facebook.com/Molicious. That's Molicious. You can also find me on TikTok. My handle on TikTok is @Mizo8605. You can actually also find me on my first name, Elmo. You can find me on Instagram, Mouton Elmo. That's my handle. That's Moutonelmo. Let's get in touch. Share your feels on the podcast, what you want us to focus on in the next episode. And then we take it from there. Lena, again, thank you so much for co-hosting this episode.
I'm all good. And thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. It was an exciting episode.
You should tell me about that.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next episode. Take care.
Ciao.